Welcome to the Grow Gelf Podcast, where we talk about the challenges and triumphs of fundraising for nonprofits. Our host is Rabbi Elazar Green, CFRE. He's helped over 800 nonprofits boost their fundraising, enabling them to raise millions more dollars. Gelf, now, let's get started exploring the ups and downs of fundraising.
So in the last episode, we talked about three things that don't work. Three things we try to do to manage our fear of the word no, and they don't work. And I really suggest, if you haven't, go back and listen to that episode, because it's some really valuable and important information. In this episode, we're going to talk about three things you can do that actually do work to help you manage your fear of the no, help you ask for what you need, help you pick up the phone and make a call. And number one, the first thing I would tell you to do is, I highly recommend this, you should stop what you're doing and buy a book that's called Go For The No. It's a very thin book, it's a very small book. And when you read it, you're going to see how it trains your brain to actually look out for the no. It helps you celebrate the no. And sometimes we pick up the phone and say, okay, we're going to call 10 people to get 10 pledges, or we're going to call and we're going to call 5 people to get 5 pledges. And when we do this, what we're trying to do is we're looking up for the yes. We're saying we hope that each of our donors, each of our prospects tell us, yes, 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 of course I'll help. Yes, I want to be there. Yes, I'll give you a gift. And the problem with it is that you always get yes as much fewer times than you get a no. So the first time you pick up the phone and make the call, or you text, or however you get in touch with your people, you're going to hear a no. And the second time you get here, a no. And the third time you get here, a no. And the fourth time, you're gonna, but at time, it sucks the energy out of you. And out of your mission, out of your cause, and out of your day, you feel like you just want to do something else. So instead of making the goals about getting a yes and getting a pledge, make the goal about getting a no. Tell yourself, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm not going to stop until I get 10 no's, and then I'll take a break. And then what happens is, when you tell this to yourself and you live it and it's real for you, when you hear the word no, you still get the feeling of rejection, but you also manage to say that, okay, that's 5 no's. I have 5 left to go. It helps manage the feelings of rejection. So buy the book, read it. This is what you walk away with. And this is a wonderful thing. That's number one. The first thing you can do to manage your fear of rejection and your fear of asking and the fear of the word no. The second thing you can do is this. You don't ask for something that you're not sure. You always ask for a yes. You don't ask for something you're not sure. So you don't ask for a gift, because if you ask for a gift and the gift is something that's important to you and it's valuable and you have to have it for your mission, so you're going to get a no, it makes the no very weighty. It makes the no very important. And that's what, that's, in other words, the reason why you're afraid and the reason why you're vulnerable, the reason why your fear of rejection is here, is because when the person says no, it's a valuable, important, weighty no. Oh my gosh, they said they don't want the fund. I asked them for $5,000. They said, no, that's a big gift for me. And now I'm not going to get it. I was hoping, I was counting, and now it's not there. So that makes the question weighty, which makes the answer weighty, and therefore the fear of it builds. What you can do is don't ask for it. You ask about asking for it. It's easier to get the words out, and you don't need a number. And you don't have to beat yourself up so much when you hear the word no. Let me give you an example. You say, Bob, I know that you care about children after school and the way it affects their long-term life. And I'm wondering if it would be appropriate for me to ask you for a gift for this cause. And I'm thinking that you'd be open to it because I know you'd care. Can I ask you for a gift? If he says yes, then you know half your job is done. You know you're going to get something. And it's wonderful. And if he says no, then you can explore that with him, as we said 2 episodes ago about exploring the no. But what you don't do, what you've successfully done is you've taken away the weight of the points of this question. This is not a $5,000 question or a $10,000 question. This is a general question. Would you be open to a gift? If he says yes, then you've already built momentum and make it easier to say the next question. If he says no, it's not that big of a deal. It's not a $10,000 question or $5,000 question. It's just a question if he's willing to support in general. And there's a book that talks about this, and I highly recommend you read it. It's called Asking About Asking by Ken Stroman. And the third thing that works is this. Take your time that you need to get to know your donor. Take the time for your donor to know your need and the people who need it and the cause you represent and the people that you serve. Talk with them, dream with them about what they care about and how they can change the world. And then you can explain to them, I see that this vision excites you. I see that this mission is important to you. Can we work together in putting it together? Can we build something? Would you like to partner in changing the world around us? So when you do this third thing, it's you're getting to know them. They're getting to know you. It does take time. It's not a one-off thing. And the investment of time will lead you to knowing in advance what they care about, why they care about it, and what appropriate ask could be. And that also takes away all the fear of the no from the ask. So those are the three things I recommend that you do in order to make sure you ask for what you need, when you need it, from the people that you need it from. The last thing I want to tell you is, and this is unrelated, but it's also super helpful in the field of fundraising, is to build a support system. You have to, if possible, build amongst your peers and colleagues a way to celebrate your wins and also learn more about losses. When you have a place to share and be open with each other about the wins that you have and the losses that you experience and the no's that you get and how you can, learn together from those no's, then this will give you the energy, the strength, and the patience to continue on this very important task that you've taken upon yourself. Your mental health is super important. You need to make sure you're not always feeling rejected, dejected, declined, and getting the words no. You have to build a support system to lean on each other. And that is kind of a bonus, a fourth thing you can do to manage the no's. I want to take this time to thank you for doing what you do, to making the world a lighter and brighter place. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being part of Grow Gelt.
Thanks for joining us on the Grow Gelt podcast. It's been a joy sharing today's insights with you. Remember, we're here to help. If you need expert advice on donor reporting, training your team, or personalized coaching or consulting, reach out to the Grow Gelt team at 717-723-8783. Thank you for being here and for helping to change the world for good.